Greetings. On behalf of the St. John's United Methodist Church family, I want you to get ready to have life spoken into you. These messages that you're going to hear by audio or video are carefully crafted that they might feed your faith and starve your doubts. We pray that God will make you stronger and will prepare you for the destiny that He's called you to live into, not only in the week to come, but in the rest of your life through how God speaks to us through His text and through these servants. We treat it with precious honor that we are gifted and given the opportunity to feed your faith. And so now, get ready, receive, and know that God has a word for you.
Good morning again. I have the scripture reading for you this morning from the book of John, chapter 14, verses 1 through 14. And here Jesus comforts his disciples. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you with me, that you will also be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. For now, you know him and have seen him. From now on, you know him and have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, Don't you know me, Philip, even after I have been among you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it.
Thank you, Jim. We appreciate your service. Let's pray. Dear God, we've waited for this day, and we're gathered in your name. We're calling out to you. Your glory like a fire awakens our desire. May you burn our hearts with truth, because you're the reason we're here, and you're the reason we're singing. Please open up the heavens, and we want to see you. Open up your floodgates as a mighty river. Let it flow from your heart and fill every part of our church and worship. You alone have made us worthy. Open our hearts to your word as we hear it today. In Jesus' name, and amen. So by now, you all know it's Father's Day, and hopefully you've done your obligatory cards and hugs and all of that if your father is right around you. But holidays can be hard for many reasons for many of us. My son is with his mother this Father's Day out of town at a wedding. My dad is also out of town with my nephew in Indianapolis. This is more of a Hallmark holiday, but still these times can be a little bit difficult, and you kind of roll your eyes that here comes another one. But think about those who don't have what you've got, or that might be lonely, and reach out to them. Or maybe instead of being lonely, your holidays have too much family. You have breakfast with one, lunch with another, dinner with another. Your parents are separated, so you've got twice as many meals to share, and maybe you've got in-laws, and then you have to do all of that all over again, and multiple step people and friends that support you that you need to go visit and thank. The holidays can be overwhelming, any holiday. But unlike Christmas or something, Father's Day is like one day. So, you know, it's a bigger deal that you do the round robin of visiting. I'm adopted. My twin brother and I were adopted when we were 5 weeks old. So it makes it kind of difficult on Father's Day because you always think about, okay, I have a biological father out there somewhere. I don't know where. I don't have a name. I don't have a place. But there's somebody out there. And you know on your birthday and on Father's Day that somehow they're thinking of you maybe. So that can be hard. It's never been a priority for me to find this person. It isn't right now. I've got quite a bit on my plate as it is. And yes, I know who my real father is. It's the guy who raised me and introduced Jesus to me. Or perhaps you're estranged from your father. The circumstances dictate that because there's been abuse, neglect, even abandonment. Not everyone has a perfect family, and life can just be hard. Or perhaps your father has gone on to his reward. And while you're happy that he's in the presence of Jesus, there's still an emptiness, a void. It's not going to be like childhood, where your life was possibly more ideal. Multiple reasons that this day can be hard. Or perhaps you're sitting next to your father right here in church. Whatever the case is, our God is the ultimate Father, and He can bring grace and comfort to us as we need it. Who are some famous fathers? Well, I tend to think of famous TV fathers. There's Dr. Huxtable from The Cosbys, Michael Brady from The Brady Bunch, Philip Drummond from Different Strokes, that was a blended family, Archie Bunker from All in the Family, Steve Douglas from My Three Sons. I guess I'm telling you how old I am, and that I still like those shows. I'm sure there's modern families. Maybe monitor isn't so wonderful. If all the problems can't be worked out in 30 minutes, but I digress. Our Father God should come to mind as being a famous father. As I said, our Heavenly Father is always here with us, holiday or not, day or night. He is everywhere and available at our beck and call. Whenever we need Him, at a moment's notice. Did you ever stop to think about that? Probably, but only necessarily when you might need Him. Father God is always with you. The Trinity is a great mystery, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. What kind of a legacy are you going to leave for your children, if you have them? I've thought of this even though Thomas is only almost 11. I'm clearly not going to be able to leave him a fortune. I would like to, but that clearly just isn't going to happen, so he'll have to get over it. Hopefully, whatever else I leave him will be enough. When I was in Greenville College, a legacy student was a second-generation student. And we were fawned all over and talked about and sucked up to some extent because oftentimes the professors were old enough to have known our parents. Or maybe our parents gave money. Anyway, a second-generation legacy was a good thing, but that was back in the day. Legacies can be part of a legend. They can be respect. They can be a heritage and a good name. Now, here in Edwardsville, there's common names. And if you've been around for very long, you recognize the old Edwardsville names, as we like to say. Old Edwardsville. If you're part of old Edwardsville, possibly you have arrived. It's part of a good name. We have many legacies here at St. John's, revered saints that have gone on and clearly revered saints that are still here. Paul Lancaster was a very well-respected coach and teacher. Most recently, we've lost Glenn Sons, Dick Umbaugh, and now Paul. They've left us a legacy of faith. When you think of Glenn Sons being in church up to a couple of weeks before he died, Dick Umbaugh going on I don't know how many mission trips, that is leaving a legacy of faith. I'll never forget Tamara Cauldron's eulogy at her dad's funeral, Cal. She talked about how he read the Bible to them, Bible stories at night, prayed with them before bed, sang hymns and Sunday school songs to them. That is a good legacy. Think back of your own legacies in faith, in your home churches if it's not here. What men made an impression on you? Now I know we like to roll our eyes and act like we're not always paying attention, but you understand how we all notice who's there, who's faithful. May all who come behind us find us faithful. Be that person. I know, Alan, it's hard, but try anyway. That's probably even harder to leave a legacy of faith than it is to lead a large estate. But just like leaving a large estate, it takes planning to leave a legacy of faith. It takes effort, it takes energy, dedication, and strength. Just like setting up 401ks, wills, and a trust. Now, you didn't fall off a truck yesterday, so you know what lovely homes we have in Edwardsville. And we know realtors among us that can find us one. But alas, most of it depends on our budget. Doesn't everything depend on our budget? But your faith does not depend on your budget. Jesus died for the least of these, even if you consider yourself to be one of the least of these. Which I don't think, if you're sitting here, that was who he meant. But even if it is, you are one of those, and God is there for you, and you have a legacy of faith to leave to your children, and you too can leave them a home in a gated community. No, not Stonebridge, not Ebbets Field, but a gated community up in the sky. Heaven. My fifth grade Sunday school teacher growing up in my home church would pray for her son who was, quote, out of the ark of safety. She knew how to pray and she prayed, and after she died, he came to faith. Never give up on your children. Your prayers are making a difference. My grandparents would pray every night for each of their kids, their grandkids, and their great-grandkids. Miraculous conversions are happening here in the United Methodist Church. As a delegate to conference, I heard about them. They're going on in churches everywhere as people seek God and true faith. Our scripture reminds us of four things. One, God and His Son are honest and straightforward. If it were not so, He says, I would have told you. There's no fake or vague answer. And certainly no lies. Parents often tell their children white lies, some for good reason and some for not good reasons, but God doesn't do this. Number two, Jesus is our Father, and He is preparing His home and a mansion for us right now as we speak up in heaven. My brothers and I have often laughed about where our mansions will be. And we might hope that they would be in a different boulevard from someone else. Someone that was EGR. That's extra grace required. If you try and avoid people on earth here, good luck. I don't know whether you can do that in heaven or not, but we will laugh about it anyway. That could turn into a good sermon, but I digress. If you become a certified lay servant, you could preach that sermon. Number three, Jesus is coming back for us to take us up to heaven to be at home with his Father, so that where I am, there ye may be also. That's awesome. God wants us to live with him. This could be unlike your earthly father. Did you get kicked out right after high school or after college? Or maybe you've been fortunate to be able to come back as long as you needed a place. Perhaps you needed a place due to a financial reversal or a divorce or some other circumstance. We've also heard of the recent court case where the parents were suing their 30-year-old son who wouldn't get a job, and just wanted to be on the dole. How sad. Of course, my homilies usually discuss some sort of music. One of my favorite gospel songs is Sheltered in the Arm of God by Dottie Rambo. It's an older song. She tells about how she wrote the song and that she was walking down the beach talking to God, giving her troubles to him. So right now, you've already got the makings of a good country song. But she felt the hand of God on her shoulder right there on the beach. She felt a peace and a presence right there. So she wrote, "I feel the touch of hands so kind and tender. They're leading me in paths that I must trod. I have no fear when Jesus walks beside me, for I'm sheltered in the arms of God. So let the storms rage high, the dark clouds rise, and they won't worry me, for I'm sheltered safe within the arms of God. He walks with me, and naught of earth can harm me, for I'm sheltered safe within the arms of God." Dottie died in her tour bus when it crashed in May of 2008 in southern Missouri after performing her final concert at the Calvary Life Church just down the road in Granite City. But you can be sure that she felt safe, that she had no fear, because Jesus walked beside her. I too have felt this pseudo hug. It's when we feel alone, when we reach out to God, or even if we don't reach out to God, he reaches out to us. Then a more contemporary, although when I think about it, not so much, Father Figure by George Michael. Some interesting and opposite lyrics there. "I will be your father figure, whoever I is. I have had enough of crime. I will be the one who loves you till the end of time." Now, how phony is that? But hey, if you're in need of a older man or a sugar daddy or someone, maybe that will do it for you. God's love does last until the end of time. It's not fleeting, and it's not romantic. It's divine. It's not earthly. And God hasn't escaped crime in order to find you. But then one of my favorite, more contemporary songs is When God Ran by Benny Hester. It talks about the prodigal son from Luke chapter 15, verses 11 through 32. When God Ran is the longest running number one song in contemporary Christian music history, having been on the charts for 13 weeks, topping both the adult contemporary and the Christian hit radio charts. It's been played over and over and reperformed by numerous people. It was a chart topper in 2009 when the Kingsmen took it to number one, and it was nominated by the Gospel Music Hall of Fame as Song of the Year and Album of the Year in 2009. Some of you probably remember it. "Almighty God, the great I am, immovable rock, omnipotent, powerful, awesome Lord, victorious warrior, mighty conqueror, commanding King of Kings, and the only time I ever saw him run was when he ran to me, took me in his arms, held my head to his chest, and said, 'My son's come home again,' looked in my face, wiped the tears from my eyes, and with forgiveness in his voice, he said, 'Son, Do you know I still love you? Just like the prodigal son. It caught me by surprise when God ran. The day I left home, I knew I'd broken his heart. I wondered if things would ever be the same. Then one night, when he hit rock bottom, I remembered his love for me. And down the dusty road ahead, I could see. It was the only time I ever saw him run. He took me in his arms, held my head to his chest, and said, "My son's come home again." Looked in my face, wiped the tears from my eyes. With forgiveness in his voice, he said, "Son, do you know I still love you?" It caught me by surprise. It dropped me to my knees when God ran. Now, some of us that haven't had a particularly sordid past, you know, may feel like we missed out. But whether you did or not, the Father God is always waiting with his arms wide open. I love artwork and stained glass and anything with Jesus with his arms open, because that's who Jesus is. He's the Father God waiting to give you a hug whenever you need it. Number four, Jesus is required. The scripture tells us that Jim read that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through him. That's good old Methodist doctrine. He doesn't say Jesus is a way or a truth. He is the truth, the way, and the life. Salvation's required. Sanctification is encouraged. Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him there's no... Oh, I'm sorry. I'm starting another song. But Jesus is the answer. That's why 9 times out of 10 when the kids answer a question in a children's sermon, the answer is Jesus, and in Sunday school. But Father God is here for us day or night, on Father's Day, and always. Amen. If for any reason you want to pray, as the band comes to lead us in our final song, feel welcome to come. Pray for your children, for your father, for peace in your life. And remember that God is always there with arms wide open, waiting for us. Just as the prodigal son came back to his father, you can come back to our Father, God, always and everywhere. Amen.